What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome to Value Town 2016. We've been on a break for a little while, so it's great to be back. I'm Chan Man V, and joined today, of course, by Raynad. How's it going, buddy? How you been the last month?
I've been busy, man, but I'm doing good. It's just streaming, holidays, yeah. Pretty much the usual, same stuff everyone did. But good to be back.
Yeah, it's been good, man. I've been seeing you stream, quite a bit, and it's been a lot of fun things on your stream recently, so I'm sure we'll be talking about some of that today. And I want to welcome our brand new co-host, Noxious. He's going to be joining us each week. How's it going, buddy?
Pretty good. Yeah. Just done streaming a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
Would have liked to be just hosting directly into it, but, we had to set up. We had some audio issues, so now that it's all sorted out, ready to go.
Yeah, good stuff, man. Yeah. So Value Town, I don't know if you guys caught the video that I released yesterday, but just a little few things I just want to explain to you guys. So with Value Town, obviously we're going to have some changes, Noxious being the co-host, and we're going to have just more topical discussions here on Value Town. Still talk about decks, still talk about cards whenever, new expansions come out and things like that, but definitely there's a lot more going on in Hearthstone, so I kind of wanted us to be able to talk about those things on Value Town, so we're going to start doing that today, especially. But why don't we kick things off by talking about what we've been doing, just in Hearthstone this past week. You've been playing Ladder, you've been playing Tavern Brawl, those type of things. Noxious, why don't you start off? What have you been doing, man?
Sure, man. I actually got, the recent Tavern Brawl we had, not the one today. This is the one for Mechazod, the co-op brawl, which I think is actually pretty cool.
Oh, yeah,
But before that, the one where you had to choose between one of four buffs, whether it was, Death Rattle, Battle Cry, Armor, or Murloc, I think. I played a ton of that, way more than I thought I would. This week I've been playing combo decks a lot, the Frost Giant OTK, the Jungle Moonkin, Malagos, the Confused Priest, I finally actually got out not playing at crappy ranks just because I wanted to play combo decks higher. It was fun. It's been fun.
Which one's the Frost Giant OTK deck? I don't even remember.
It's really simple. It's got, when Frost Giant was announced, people started thinking about playing the deck, and it got... you just play it with, Warrior. You start armoring up every turn forever. And then eventually you charge it up and you copy it twice with Faceless and you just kill them.
Yeah.
It's like the Molten Giant OTK, but new twist on it, I guess, with the one class that can live forever. So.
Okay, yeah, that sounds cool. Fun. I've definitely never taken a look at that one. Raynad, how about you? What have you been doing? Laddering?
Yeah, pretty much just ladder. The only Hearthstone I've been playing has been on stream, which isn't always the case. Sometimes I'm really into the meta. Past couple weeks it's not been the case, but I've just been laddering a little bit. I haven't played too much this month, honestly. I got really burnt out at the end of last month because on New Year's they made the season end, and they made it's a 31-day month, and the first 30 days of ladder didn't actually matter. It was insane. On December 30th I fell asleep at rank 7. Seven legend. And then I woke up and I was ranked 50. And I talked to the people on Europe right when their season ended. It was 9 hours earlier, in California before our season ended. And they were saying that on Europe, they were dropping one rank per minute for the people in top 100.
That's fast. Holy shit.
Yeah. So basically, spent 6 hours grinding that day and just missed it. I was just really tilted because you have to get a 4-win streak right at the end. I had it. I was at, there's this glut of people that wouldn't play between rank 30 legend and 70 legend.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
As soon as you won a game at 70 legend, you jumped up to 30. And I was scared that, if I don't play for 10 minutes, I would jump down to 70 from people passing.
Right.
I don't know.
Talk about ladder anxiety, man. That's craziness whether to play or not.
But I ended up playing at 30 because, if I win, then I not only do I guarantee top 100, but I guarantee top 50. And I lost that game, so that sucked.
What do you think about this whole... how do you feel about just this... this kind of last day meta?
I was going to ask you that.
Awful. Yeah. Hearthstone ladder system is just trash. It's straight up the worst possible ladder system they could have for a card game. And that's I mean, even Magic used to use ELO, which basically like calculated the same way that MMR is calculated in Hearthstone. And they stopped using it because it's just too volatile for a card game. The person that was highest ranked on in Magic was always the one that won the last tournament last weekend.
Oh, I see.
Every time.
Yeah. Right. That makes sense, right?
Yeah. So that was kind of... It's just not like indicative of skill in a card game. But, you know, if they don't have that kind of system, then it's like, how do you grind?
Yeah. I mean, it's...
In the later stages.
It's kind of exciting, you know, like on that last day. But I can just see it being super frustrating for a large amount of people, too. Especially the folks that are probably in like the top 200, 300, right? I feel like that experience is crazy. But a lot of people probably the same as you. It's just like, do I play just to defend my position, or do I try to, you know, just climb? And man, it is. It's just like you said. It's just like it's a little bit of who's lucky at the very, very end, right?
What if they did like weekly qualifying tournaments in game, like with an actual lobby that worked a little bit like they do the BlizzCon stuff, and you had to actually win those things to get points towards the like the BlizzCon stuff? Because I don't really see why like the ladder points are being accounted for when it comes to the tournament system that's going to be run in a very different manner with like formats that are probably not the same. They're best of threes in the first place at least. Whereas now it's like a best of one, you queue into it, you hope you get a good matchup. It's even worse now since the metagame's all over the place, I imagine. So
yeah, but how do you run that tournament? I mean, it's
automatically, I guess, every week. You just like register and see where things go.
Oh, I see what you mean.
You're seeded randomly. Okay. Yeah, like just an in-game tournament lobby or system that just takes care of seeding people.
People don't realize how long it would take to program. Though.
Yeah.
In-game tournament lobby is like, there's nothing even close to it that's already in Hearthstone as far as like the back end for it. So they, yeah, I think that. That would be awesome, but it's always going to be like a lower priority than the new expansion or other features that they're always working on, you know?
Yeah.
Like, deck slots seem like they should be quick to program, and they're not out yet, but, like, imagine how hard the tournament system is to program.
Because I don't know.
If you test so many different UIs for it, and it's... At the end of the day, like, Blizzard's supportive of a Hearthstone esports scene, but I don't think they want a competitive version of the game within the client.
Really?
It's not.
Yeah,
it's
I can
not
see that.
Really
absolutely.
To,
so you don't think there will ever be a tournament system?
I don't think so. I don't think there should be.
Wow.
Like, there's so many third party websites you can use for stuff like that, and having it in the client, yeah, it's nice and all, but it's like trying to push Hearthstone to be what it isn't. And, like, what it isn't is, you know, like a game.
A competitive game.
What it isn't is hardcore, is what you're saying.
I guess it's not like Warcraft 3 or Starcraft 2, which, you know, they're built to be competitive or played competitively. Whereas I guess Hearthstone is more played to be casual. And if you push the client into incorporating those competitive elements, then you're kind of supporting it.
Well, I think it's. I definitely agree that from a prioritization standpoint, it shouldn't be high, just based on what you guys have said. But if they have bandwidth, I don't see why you wouldn't just. Why not just build it in, right? Like, I don't think it would hurt if they, you know, if they didn't have anything else to do. I mean, they always have stuff to do, but if they have enough engineers, then I don't know. I think there's enough people that would want to play a tournament system. And then whatever esports we do have for Hearthstone, you know, just with the whole circuit and everything, then you could incorporate that somehow, like with what Noxious was suggesting.
And with MLG, I mean, if they build a platform, you know, there's a possibility that they just have, like, it's not going to be in the client, but it could be an external platform that kind of pushes you to play tournaments, or they're going to have, like, scheduled tournaments run on that platform instead.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, the MLG is definitely a topic we're going to be talking about soon,
yeah,
but
sure.
That's kind of what Reynard was saying with an external... Just external sites and things like that, you know, running it. But yeah, maybe, I don't know, maybe even just extending the points to a larger number of people in Legend. Like, what about if it went out to like 300 or, I don't know, 200, 300, 400 or something like that? Would it be any better or still the same?
It doesn't matter.
Craziness?
Those points are too small to really make a difference when it comes to the big event, I think. In fact, I mean, I'm not even there. I don't even care too much on a personal level, but I feel like all you're doing is diluting the pool of players who go there.
Yeah.
To where you have a lot of the top ones that might not make the cut because variance hits. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, it's either zero or nothing. I mean, you get nothing now. So it's like either nothing or I don't know, just a few points anyway. Yeah, just 1 point for getting it. That's true. That's true. 1 point.
And you get, you know, five for top 100. I think.
Yeah.
Like, the last time that ladder mattered for Hearthstone, it was a lot more top heavy. Like, there's a huge difference between getting top 10 and top 50 and top 100. And I noticed that this last season, the first time that they had top 100 be like the contention point, there were a lot more people grinding at around that rank 100, 150 rank. Mm-hmm. Basically, like, if they changed it to the top 300 got points, all that would happen is there would be 200 people sitting on ranking not playing.
Right.
And instead of like the current 50 people do that.
Yeah.
And it doesn't change anything because it's like the same amount of people competing at the end of on that last day. It's still the same amount of variance.
There's more squatting basically at the end.
Yeah. The squatting is always just going to be influenced by like what that cutoff is.
Yeah.
Honestly, what they just need is a better ranking system, one that doesn't go off of MMR the way it currently does. And I don't know if there's a different way of doing it. It sucks to like shit talk the ranking system, but then like I don't really have a better solution.
Yeah, like we don't have a better idea, so that's always not as productive, right?
It's been the nightmare, I think, of pretty much every single game that's tried to be competitive is finding the format that works. And even though Hearthstone's been experimenting with, like, the ladder system is the one that's tougher to evaluate, right? Because you see, you know, look at StarCraft. World of Warcraft's pretty exploitable, which might be just a big issue.
Yep.
Because of the way it works, the highest skill players can just manipulate their queue very easily since there's so few of them at that level. Whereas in Hearthstone, I feel like the variance itself accommodates or like fixes that issue, but the problem is when you're like giving points out for being at the top, then of course some people miss out even though they don't quote unquote deserve to. So it's just rough.
Why is it bad though? Like if you're a high ranked player, that like in WoW, if you're a high ranked player, you're gonna get paired against like the highest ranked player, and both of you queue at the same time, right?
Yeah, all the time, pretty much.
Yeah, so that's how Hearthstone should work.
That's right what now, I liked about it, yeah. I'd like
right
that.
Now, the hidden thing in Hearthstone is there's... I was actually going to make a video on this. The worst thing about Hearthstone Ladder is the fact that there's actually like variance in your matchmaking other than the matchup you get or the opponent you get.
Mm-hmm.
There's variance in the rank they can be. Because like if you're top 100 legend, you have the same odds of playing like a rank 3,000 legend at the end of the month as you do of playing a guy near your own rank. And then that, like before the game even starts, before you even see your matchup, there's RNG based on your opponent's rank, where if they are like rank 3,000, you lose like four times as much MMR for losing, and you win four times less MMR for winning. So like already you lost the RNG roll of like the how much MMR do I win or lose?
Just the reward or punishment is already rolled for like before you even start, and that can, because there's variance in the game. Like in WoW, when it happens, I'll be honest with you. Like if you're 2,700, you face off against 2,300, it happens. You get 1 point, but you never lose. Like you never lose legitimately. In Hearthstone, I feel like the variance in the game makes it so when you do face off against lower ranked opponents, the punishment, like you can't even avoid it. It'll happen at least at some point. And that's, I think, the big issue is that there's too many layers of variance on the points you get and the reward you get on top of it. I don't know.
Yeah, the best solution right now would just be to basically make it impossible to queue into rank 3,000 players if you're top 100 and just give us way longer queue times. If the game has enough players to support it, you should only be able to play against people within 1% of your MMR range, if possible. I think back in beta, you never saw top 100 players get paired against rank 3,000 players. It just didn't happen. But then all that match fixing stuff kind of got revealed, where like a bunch of players got banned for it.
Yeah.
And Blizzard got like really worried. And I think what they did is they increased the range that you can match into in Legend to make it harder to intentionally queue two accounts in each other.
Oh, you think that's the reason? I just figured it was wait time. Point, I figured actually, wait time was the biggest thing.
That's true.
I mean, the people who play the game at that level would rather have good games and close, like, not as volatile MMR swings and just a longer queue time. You know, the people who grind Hearthstone that much are not the ones that care about an extra 2 minutes of waiting, I think.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think, especially, you know, everybody has the same goal, like, near the top there. So wait time I don't think is as much of an issue, but I just feel like the change was probably generally for wait time, and they just applied it to every aspect of ladder.
Yeah, maybe.
General UI issue there. Yeah.
I mean, every other rank has so many players. Like, Hearthstone has so many players. Wait time should be pretty short regardless, I think.
Yeah. All right, yeah, that's definitely cool. Yeah, I've been laddering too. I've been trying to get to Legend with Priest because I've never done it. It's like just playing Priest. It's been tough, dude. I've gotten up to rank 2, but then I'll just like drop to rank 5 like the next day, depending on what I play. So
shields up, red alert.
Yeah, exactly right. But what do you guys think of the meta right now? I mean, I'm seeing all kinds of things. It's hard to actually pinpoint what I should be trying to counter right now.
There's a lot of stuff, basically. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot more Zoo than there was last month. A bunch of Zoo showed up on the very last ladder day last month, and they all did pretty well. But yeah, like the metagame is in a spot where there's a lot of decks, but they're all decks we've seen before, I guess. I don't know. Personally, I just can't find one that I really like right now, you know? I know Secret Paladin's the best, but I just played it all last month, so I'm bored of it.
Yeah, I can't bring myself to play Secret Paladin at all. But it's not as quite as popular as it was. I mean, I see all kind. I mean, I do see Secret Paladin probably the most, but I mean, I see a lot of Zoo. I mean, I still see the, you know, the Reno Locks. There will be like days where I see a ton of Warriors, you know, and just those type of countering type of decks. And then Druids have their days too. So it's like, man, you really have to grind these days. Play a lot of matches.
There's no like narrow like three deck meta anymore. I mean, you could say yes, there's a huge representation of Secret Pally on a given day, and but the thing is, I feel like back to the problem that's always been there with Hearthstone is you change decks, and suddenly if you don't run into what you were trying to, you know, queue up into, then you're pretty much not doing any work with that swap. So it's really just about taking one archetype that would work against what you think you're going to be facing off against and queuing until you get one good day where suddenly the streaking happens. Even at High Legend, like to push into the top 10, you do have to streak.
Yeah.
From what I gather. Like, I don't, like, it's always about streaking, and that's a pretty tough thing to do in a game where matchups aren't even guaranteed. So I don't know. I don't think they will ever do that.
You know
like
what we
need? Blas ban on ladder or something.
You know what we need? Is we need essentially like an equivalent to, not exactly the same as Hearth Arena, but we need an equivalent to something analytics wise for Constructed, like something that would just tell us like, okay, right now, what is the hottest deck right now?
Oh my God.
I mean, obviously it would change, you know, because people would obviously instantly try to counter whatever that site's saying. But that would actually be nice, because every time every day, the way my ladder experience goes is I drop, because I don't know what's going, you know, currently, you know, hot on the ladder right now. And then, like, by the time I kind of figure it out, then I have to, you know, I climb back at the end of the day. But every day I feel like I drop initially, because I need to figure out, like, get a sample size of what's going on, at least a small sample size.
Sure. That's the issue. It does take a long time to get things done. Like, sample size wise, it's really rough. Like, you can't get a good sample size individually, like, unless you keep queuing on, a dummy account and keep conceding every game just to see the classes.
Well, you're not going to concede.
Like, there's absolutely no way you're going to see a good sample size.
So. Yeah. But, yeah, it's definitely interesting. I'll see if I'll be able to do it. I've still got, about 2 weeks, 3 weeks to do it. We'll see. Yeah. But Tavern Brawl was another thing that I thought was really interesting. You mentioned it too, Noxious. Reyna, did you get a chance to play Tavern Brawl at all?
I did. I played a few games on stream of the one where you pick one of four buffs.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I think I decided like Mill Rogue's the best possible deck, so I stopped.
Oh, wow. Okay, Mill Rogue. So actually, that's what I wanted to see. What do you guys think was the best? So for those of you that didn't get a chance to play a Tavern Brawl, it was called Battle of the Builds. And the way it would work is that you would build your own deck, and then, you know, just before your first turn, one of these buffs happen. Like, you get to choose one of these buffs for the entire game that you get. So you could either choose the Murloc bonus, where you get a 1-1 Murloc, or +1/+1 to Battlecry cards, +1/+1 to Death Rattle cards, and then +3 armor for whenever you cast a spell. So you just choose one, right? And then you just play your entire game, and you get that buff. So wanted to ask you guys which one you thought was the best, first off. Noxious.
Yeah, I mean, I think Mill Rogue is probably like one. It wasn't my initial evaluation that it would be the best, but in order to make it the best, I had to put in 2 Hungry Crabs, just because I was so, like, there was one day where I saw nothing but Murlocs. The other day was just armored up Freeze Mages and Control Warriors, which you beat with Mill Rogue. So it was just kind of weird, because Mill Rogue looked like the absolute best deck, and then you had to start putting in Hungry Crabs to do a better work, and then if people were playing the Battlecry / Death Rattle stuff, you were better off playing, you know, Aggro Warrior with Battlecry bonuses, where you're playing, like, Arcane Golems and Leroys. Like, there's a few decks that were really good, but overall it comes down to Mill Rogue, I think, and I'd say Priest initially was the best, but then Rogue came up, and that's not going to work. I don't know. I feel like Rogue has the best win rate.
You thought Priest was the best? Wow.
For a little while, I thought it was pretty much impossible to beat with the armor game, because you could usually just get out obscene amounts of cards in your deck against Mill, so you could still manage it. So
Okay. Cool. Ray?
Were there other people playing Mill Rogue? Was it really popular towards the end? Because I only played...
I don't know. It was just me. Like, I saw like myself and maybe one other guy.
Yeah, I saw the... I only played the Brawl like right at the beginning, so I didn't know if there's like some metagame that developed. But yeah, I started with just, you know, put all the Murloc cards in a deck and I won like a few games with that. And then I tried tried Control Warrior because I'm like, oh, Control Warrior should be impossible to kill if you make it spell heavy. Like 2 Slam, 2 Bash, 2 Revenge, all of that. And I did that. And yeah, Rogue, you know, or Warrior was beating everything. But then in my head, I'm like, okay, well, Control Warrior is unbeatable by combo and by aggro, but Mill Rogue just crushes it. So, like, Mill Rogue, I think, would be on top because it, like, beats all these control decks and it also beats...
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I think you can get it to beat all the aggro decks, too, so...
Yeah, it's only Shaman that's a really big problem. Like, because they always get that every fin can happen turn. I think they always will get it. Like, you might dodge the first any fin with a Vanish or Prep set, like Prep Fan of Knives or something ridiculous. You might stay alive, but then eventually they just keep getting those 1/1s to where they will get either 2 Bloodlust or 2 any fins, and eventually one turn will go through or you'll lose half your HP, and then you're looking at it like, oh, I can't make them draw because Crackle comes up. And it's like aggro Shaman with Murlocs basically just wrecks that format. So I think overall, like, it was actually a really cool format to where I could imagine there was a ladder system with a metagame that evolves in that the Tavern Brawl, which would definitely happen over the few days we had it. It was cool.
Yeah. So I guess consensus's spell bonus was the best for you guys?
It looked like it initially, but I think Battlecry Warrior was my favorite.
Yeah, I definitely messed around with both spell bonus and the Death Rattle ones too, and spell bonus, I feel like, had the most flexibility, and I was really surprised that freeze didn't work. Did you guys try freeze mage too?
No,
it kind of
decided it would die like control. Like, it would die to control warrior, and it would die to the other spell decks because they're getting armor.
That's not enough damage, right? Yeah, that's the same issue I had. Yeah, but that was definitely very inventive of the devs to come up with. Hopefully, we'll see some more of these type of Tavern Brawls. One of the best, if not the best one for me.
I'd say the best, yeah, for sure. For me, at least. Like, the thing is, the design of it was really cool. There was one a while back we had that was where you could discover cards. I mean, that was super awesome, like, conceptually. But in practice, it seems like there's still a lot of RNG in the way that it works, whereas now you know what you're getting. The only thing, I guess, I could complain about this Tavern Brawl was I wish I could select the bonus I want in the deck area, because I can't even tell you how many times I clicked end turn as I was trying to... like, just speed up the turn one, and I forgot to pick the bonus. I don't know how many times it happened. It's just obscene.
Oh, I say UI-wise. Okay, I understand.
Oh, yeah, it was crazy. Yeah. Annoying.
Got it. All right. Well, Tavern Brawl, we'll see what it is today, because I think it's probably come out already. I just haven't got a chance to look in the client for what's going on there. But let's move on to a topic in the news. It happened maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, but Blizzard Activision buys Major League of Gaming. And folks are probably wondering why this is such a, you know, folks that don't really follow, I guess, esports might be wondering why this is such a big deal. But it is a big deal because Major League of Gaming has always been a tournament circuit, an online tournament platform. They even have their own streaming platform now with MLG TV. And the fact that Activision is obviously, you know, and Blizzard buying this, what does that mean for, I guess, all the Activision and Blizzard titles, since they've all been on Twitch, they've all been run by companies like ESL, you know, just for the most part, Hearthstone particularly, ESL America. You know, we all know ESL America and the studio over there, and they've obviously do European ones too. So the question is for you guys: what do you think of this whole purchase, and what do you think what do you think is the future for Hearthstone esports with this? Ray, I'll start with you.
There's basically three esports production companies, which are ESL, DreamHack, and MLG. And the first two got bought out by MTGX, and both get bought by MTG?
Yeah, both of them are owned by MTGX.
So Blizzard has been, or Activision Blizzard rather, has been on a kick of like investing heavily into esports, buying things in the space. They bought like they bought King, like that makes Candy Crush and stuff. So I think it's just like that time.
Oh yeah, we know where they're going with that. Yeah. Honestly,
I think it's just that time when they're starting to eat up other companies, and basically, okay. So MLG was really what made it successful for a long time is their sales team. They actually had the best one in the industry. Through that sales team, they got exclusive contracts with Activision to do Call of Duty tournaments. Mm-hmm. And Call of Duty, because it had to be streamed on MLG all the time, it was just really like unsuccessful. Like that scene just got way less viewers than it would have on Twitch. Mm-hmm. And the individual Call of Duty streamers couldn't, like, they all made all their content on YouTube, basically. They didn't really do much on the MLG platform. So, for example, like Optic is probably like the third biggest esports brand in the world. Mm-hmm. And that's something a lot of people who just watch Twitch haven't even heard of because they're just based in Call of Duty. So it's crazy that a game that big with brands that big, when you have guys like Nadeshot with like a million Twitter followers, when they just like don't get any views because they're streaming on MLG, it's just like really, it sucks. So now that it's going to be on Twitch as well, it'll be like better for Call of Duty and for Hearthstone. Not much is going to change because the MLG buyout, basically what happened is like MLG started tanking in value, and then like after it lost Call of Duty exclusivity, that was like the last straw and they had to kind of sell. Because that company was probably worth twice that a year ago.
Well, the total funding was $69 million actually for MLG over the history of MLG. So even just what funding they've gotten, it's like quite a bit less.
Yeah, but they've been profitable too. So you can't really.
They've been profitable? Not for very long, dude. Like I think the first time they were not red was maybe 2 years ago. They've been losing money forever. And not to mention, Ferguson Mitchell has a great article I should bring up that literally lays out all the loans they've taken from banks, too. It's quite a bit. So they've definitely lost money, like quite a bit of money over time. But they do have assets, and that's kind of what the $46 million is for, right?
Right. So, the buyout's just for equipment mostly. And that's just going to go towards all Blizzard esports, honestly, you know, for doing a lot of bigger scale stuff. Mm-hmm. Now they just have the assets that they need to do it, basically, you know, the cameras, all of that. So yeah, long term, this isn't really going to affect anything directly in Hearthstone. It's just going to indirectly affect all of Blizzard esports because there's a lot of like it's just going to make like the back end.
Candy Crush
esports. I mean, I think the brand of MLG as well, like when you think about esports online, I mean, when's the last time you saw somebody you know, say, you know, that was a crazy ESL move you made right there. Or you make like a, like MLG has gotten this crazy reputation because of the Call of Duty stuff that they've done. Where when you make a cool move, I guess people just relate that to MLG because it's the competitive esports thing. So the name itself has some value in a weird way. But for some reason, MLG has always been going down. Popularity-wise, because I remember back in the days, they ran StarCraft tournaments a long time ago.
Yeah, that was like the prime of StarCraft.
Exactly, yeah. Like their peak was when they had StarCraft stuff, and then ever since they picked up console, and they've been focusing a lot on that, obviously, which I can understand from a business standpoint. It just seems like they've been losing the PC gamers to that. And as a result of that, the crowd of people who would watch a stream on PC, they're just not there. They don't care about the console games very often. Not necessarily true, because you have stuff like Bloodborne on Twitch that's getting, you know, pretty decent viewership, or Destiny even. Mm-hmm. But it's like they've isolated themselves in a little bubble where they can't even touch a market because they left it behind a while back. And maybe just having the brand for Blizzard is going to be worth a lot. I don't know.
Well, I mean, let's be... I get talking about some of those points. So mm-hmm. MLG, when it was popular with, you know, StarCraft II, that original circuit back in like 2011, 10 and 11, they were losing money. Like these type of events that you do, like in Columbus and Raleigh and, you know, Anaheim and things. I mean, it was very public that they lost money on every one of those events. So being known for that is cool, but when you're not making money from that, it's really, really hard to do, right? And so they started getting away from that about 2 or 3 years ago, and slowly, you know, StarCraft II started to phase out, right? And then with Riot, you know, really taking control of League, they were never able to have League, you know, like a really substantial League events, and ESL being the European studio, like that kind of allowed ESL to continue doing League things. They're like the only company that's able to do something besides Riot, right? So they had to find their own niche, and that's kind of where they went to console. And, you know, most recently they went to Smash too, right? A lot of the Smash events were MLG, and that's where they were focusing. But like Raynad mentioned, losing the Call of Duty contract to ESL, I think that was like the last straw that broke kind of MLG's back. And so I think after that they just felt like they had to sell, and it was actually unclear whether it was just like a full buyout or if it was just selling assets. But a recent article, I think from Ferguson Mitchell, spelled it out really clearly. It was just they literally sold every single asset except for Agora, which was a company that they acquired that does online tools and things like that. So the brand is sold. Like they had to rename the company too that's remaining, but there's still an entity that remains. But they sold everything, the brand, the MLG circuit, the MLG game battles, which is the online platform and everything. So Activision owns all of that now, which, you know, could mean that we have some Hearthstone stuff, right, in terms of online.
They might use it, as kind of a back-end infrastructure. I mean, as he said, you know, as Raynad said, that is, it's like, yeah, sure, you've got they've got the assets, and they're probably very happy with it, but they might not be intending to push Hearthstone to esports. I just feel like like the fact that they bought it out in the first place means that they're still continuing on with the vision that esports is going to grow, which is true. Like, I was talking to an ESPN guy recently for an interview, and he says, you know, cable's dying. We're all aware of that, and we're trying to focus some of our efforts maybe on getting involved in the online scene.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool to hear that. And I think Activision's move was pretty much in line with what all the big media companies are noticing.
I hope, you know, one of the things that I loved about MLG, so the thing about MLG for me is like, it's some of my best memories, you know, of StarCraft II esports were all revolved around MLG back in, you know, 2010 and 11. And one of the things I loved the most were the open tournaments. Like, I actually got a chance to play, you know, in a StarCraft II open tournament. And this is a tournament where all the pros are involved too. You know what I mean? Like all the Korean players were there too. And you know, all your favorite players. I hope MLG does something. It'll be cool if they did something like that with Hearthstone. Like just have, you know, like these kind of touring events that are just open to everybody. And they, like, it's an all day couple, you know, 2 day event. But it's super high profile type of open thing versus just an online type of experience. Yeah. I think that would be kind of cool.
It reminds me of like WCG. Didn't they have like an open qualifier that you could just go through to get to the group stage in the first place. Like, there was some kind of thing I remember WCG a while
back. Did they do that? Okay.
Might have been like another one, like ESWC.
WCG is like had a history of always being like country open.
Country type only,
of
thing. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Pretty much. So yeah, that was pretty true. Cool. I don't know. I'd like that. It would be nice to see the entire scene grow. I'm just happy that esports is just becoming even bigger and more widely accepted. Like, suddenly it seems like, I remember when poker became big on TV. Somehow that is also.
You think Hearthstone's going to be on TV?
No. Hell no. Never mind. I'm not talking about Hearthstone specifically, just in general, the esports stuff. Just the fact that the game, which went from being kind of a gambler's awful addiction, went to being from that to being kind of a cool mainstream thing. That was pretty nice.
Yeah, Ray, you think Hearthstone will ever get to at least poker, poker entertainment from the standpoint of TV? God. You know, like,
like it's unlikely. Poker is a lot more accessible. A lot of also appeals to a broader variety of demographics. You know, a lot of the people who care about professional poker are like men in their early 20s, late 20s, but you also see people in their 40s, 50s, 60s like really caring about that scene. Mm-hmm. Whereas it's a lot less common for gaming to have like as big of a spread in ages. But I don't know. This MLG buyout, it's like a little bit scary too, because you talk to a lot of people who are involved in the scene, whether they're like players or event staff or anything like that, and a lot of people's fondest memories were MLG from a lot of different scenes. And, you know, they did a lot of good things for the space, just really high production level stuff, and, you know, they treated players well and everything. It's just, I don't know, it sucks to see companies like this get, you know, gobbled up as things grow. Like, these are the companies that got esports to the point where it is now, and then it's just
everything's consolidating now, just because I think a lot of big players are coming into the space, so the existing players they kind of have to come together, or like companies like MTGX comes and buys, you know, two of the biggest companies we do have in esports. That's pretty much what we're seeing here. It's going to be a new time, man. 2016, we're going to see a lot of this, and it'll be interesting to see what everything looks like by the end of the year.
Yeah, I want to know if Blizzard's going to pull off the kind of like LCS type of policy for some of their tournaments. I don't know if that's going to happen ever.
Like what?
Just taking
what do
control
you mean?
Of the competitive, I guess, tours, you could say. Mm-hmm. LCS being kind of the big thing for League.
Yeah.
So I don't know if
so. Do you
Blizzard's
mean just taking control
of their? Yeah.
You mean taking control of everything?
Oh, competitive stuff. I don't know. I don't know if they'd ever do that. It really depends, you know, what the motive was behind MLG. We'll figure that out, of course, as we go along. Like, it's kind of early to talk about the ramifications, but I'd like to know if that's the plan they've got to maybe take the reins of the competitive environment. Because right now, I feel like it's the Wild West in esports. It's always been, but it still kind of is. Maybe we need like an NFL for esports.
Well, I mean, I don't think we'll ever have an NFL for the esports, just because it's different, right? Like, you have these developers that own the IP, and you know they have the last say when it comes to it. And that's what Riot type of model makes the most sense, because you know they are the end all say all, and for them to run it makes the most sense too, right? With Blizzard, I don't see any signs of it, but yeah, this whole Activision thing, like obviously making huge investments, and then you know you see this whole new esports division being created.
Yeah.
It does seem like there are signs that it might be headed towards that direction, which I don't know if it's a good or bad thing. We'll have to, at least from a consumer, you know, from the standpoint of like broadcasting companies and things like that, it might be worse for them, but we'll definitely have to see. Twitch being just the general platform, I think still helps a lot of these
absolutely.
Companies, right? Like, yeah. MLG TV will not be successful. Like, it just, as itself. Like, can you imagine if they made all Blizzard titles and Activision titles just on MLG TV? That would be so terrible. That'd be crazy, crazy bad.
Reynard's like,
give
please don't.
Ideas.
Don't give any. Come on. I mean, that we all know how bad this is. It's just like going to a Zubu or something. You know what I mean? That'd be so, so bad, right? I mean, but yeah,
money.
So we'll have to see.
Money.
Yeah, definitely see how that goes. But let's move on to another topic. So before we get to the next topic, I just want to remind everybody, we have a Patreon for Valuetown, patreon.com/ Value Town. If you want to support the show, you know, pledge and lots of cool rewards and milestones there. Really appreciate it. It keeps the show going. But let's move on to another topic that has to do with companies that aren't directly related to Hearthstone, but I feel like should be, which are the e-betting. It's like gambling/fantasy sites, all right? Gambling/sites. Yeah. Okay, and these type of sites that we're talking about are things like Vulcan, things like Alpha Draft, and, you know, we've seen Alpha Draft sponsor ATL, you know, for instance, and we've all kind of wondered, like, how did that work since that Hearthstone's not even on their site, you know? So what's going on there? And first off, I want to see what you guys think of just these sites generally, and the fact that they, in my opinion, are helping to sustain the growth and the consistency of CSGO, you know, it being such an important part to that scene. What do you guys think about that, and would it be awesome to have that in Hearthstone? Noxious, I'll start with you.
So the first thing is, like, fantasy for Hearthstone would be a little bit weird. Like, yeah. Picking up, like, I remember when I casted Vulcan, they asked us to do little demonstration videos of, like, how to use the website.
Right.
And I was like, okay, sure, I'll do that. And then just going through the motions, I was like, this is ridiculous, because, like, just rating players based on their performance in this game is a lot more difficult, I find, than other games. And when you're choosing lineups and matchups, like, it comes down to what you think the players are going to prefer playing at a given time, but when the metagame is usually settled in tournaments, it often doesn't matter too much. Like, the fantasy side I found a little odd, but when you look at the betting websites, you know, when you bet on somebody winning a game, or, you know, you're betting on yourself, like, in a 1v1 match, you're going like, dude, I'm going to, like, 1v1 you, GG, no re. We're putting 50 bucks in this match, and
yeah,
you just take a chance. You know, maybe your secret paladin takes the win, maybe it doesn't, and you can just try to keep queuing up against people who are consenting to betting some money on it. So there's like two different ways to do this. And there's also the whole, you know, never mind the fantasy, just bet on a player winning a given event. We've seen that happen in the past, but it sometimes leads to a lot of, I guess, match setting where players are being paid to throw, which, you know, although you wouldn't necessarily put it past, you know, on a player to do something like this, if the incentive is big enough, it could happen. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, like, Blizzard has had a problem with Vulcan, which kind of threw every single one of these ideas out the window by default, right?
So, yeah.
I don't know. A little bit of a fallout with them.
Reyna, what do you think?
Okay, so, yeah, it does help CSGO a lot, the gambling site specifically. Mm-hmm. The Daily Fantasy doesn't... I wouldn't say that Daily Fantasy contributes to, like, increasing numbers in a game, though. Yeah, Daily Fantasy is just something that's carved out a huge niche in traditional sports. It's one of the biggest sources of revenue they sponsor.
Yeah, especially recently with just Daily Fantasy, I think, has been the innovation, like, for and making a lot of money.
So you see it in the news a lot lately. John Oliver's done probably the first piece I've ever seen him do that made me lose respect for him on Daily Fantasy.
Really? What did what was it about? I didn't even see it.
He basically is just like, oh, look at how scum these guys are for making money by doing this.
What?
But he's like, oh, look at how much these guys contradict themselves and their message, and he, like, is contradicting himself a lot too while he's doing this, and it's like, I don't know, it's just like a headache. It's just like so many logical fallacies. Wow.
Okay.
There was no message behind it either. Like, at the end of the episode, I'm just like, okay, so I watched you, like, explain the most common business practices in the world and try to paint them as bad, and then you have no message. Like, there's no thesis, you know? At the end of it, it's like, yep, right. So this is what's happening.
My sides.
It wasn't, yeah. I don't know. Normally, I really like the stuff he does, but that was just like...
Just for the sake of being argumentative for no reason?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
That's exactly okay. What
got it.
It's like, look at how edgy I am for noticing things. Oh, but yeah, anyway, yeah, the Daily Fantasy's blown up, and there's definitely, like, esports equivalent to that. And
sure.
It traditionally, like, those are sources of a lot of sponsorship revenue. So,
yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. Money from sites like Alpha Draft and Vulcan could potentially go to doing a lot of just throwing a lot of big third-party events and just putting more cool stuff to watch on Twitch. the same way that money from companies like G2A and like other sponsors helps put events on. So what happened though is like Vulcan, and again, I might have a detail wrong, but the general gist of what happened is Vulcan and Alpha Draft are both trying to get into Hearthstone, like daily fantasy, and Vulcan did some irresponsible stuff to where they made it like straight up betting. There wasn't really fantasy or elements behind it.
They made this convoluted scoring system in their site that ended up creating this kind of weird betting thing.
Yeah, so, and then the Federal Fantasy or Gambling Commission or whatever came after Blizzard rather than going after Vulcan.
I didn't know that. Okay.
They went after both, but the point is Blizzard was approached by the government or by regulatory agencies. At which point, if you're Blizzard, you're like, well, what the hell is Vulcan? We're not making any money off Vulcan. What do I care about what happens to you? I'm pulling the license on every single fantasy site because I don't want one of you guys to mess up and have to deal with the government as a result of it. Because Blizzard has no investment in the... They have no interest in Vulcan or Alpha Draft success.
Right.
So Blizzard basically pulled the license. So all these daily fantasy sites just like can't do Hearthstone games or Blizzard games in general, I think. And...
well, I just won't allow it because
really,
of this.
That's really sucked for me personally, because then it's like, you know, it makes it impossible to get like fantasy sponsorship if you're like based in Blizzard games. But like Blizzard's 100% in the right for doing that. It's just, that's kind of what happened. So you're starting to see the government come down kind of hard on all daily fantasy, or a little bit more in 2016, because they're making more money than the government is comfortable with for reasons.
Well, the debate is whether it's a game of skill or not, right? And whether it's considered gambling or...
97% of the profits in daily fantasy, in traditional sports, I don't know the statistic for esports, but 97% of the prizes are won by 1% of the players. So these are players who have Excel sheets and just document all the numbers and do all that. And
some of them are bots.
If that's not a game of skill, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
But you don't make money from those players. You're making money from... You want it to feel like gambling to the plebs, even if they're going to lose a lot. So it is a game of skill, but it's one that they have to market as a game of chance. And I don't know.
They don't market it as it. When does FanDuel
feel like a game of chance? Like you have to... If you actually show that statistic... Or like 1% of players make 97% of the prize money. Like your average middle-aged football fan.
I feel like poker did well. Like poker and they said, you know, there's maybe a small portion of the players who win a lot, but you could be one of these guys. And I think they could do the same thing with fantasies.
Oh, I see.
Fantasy is way more profitable than poker because they don't do that.
Okay, like, I see.
Poker makes no money. It's the lowest revenue casino game of all of them. It's the WSOP only makes money because it's like a broadcast, you know. It's like, even the WSOP really makes any money. Poker is a very low revenue.
That's about it, really.
Yeah, it is the rake.
Makes a like bank, and it's because they want the average player to feel like they can win, even though they can't, because it's a game of skill. So that's
I know what you mean, though. It's a combination of the two, right? And the thing with daily fantasy too is that I compare it to poker, because poker did have these kind of weird daily, you know, like who can win the most and jackpot things too. I mean, this is like really not very popular because it was kind of weird, but with daily fantasy, it doesn't take much time too, you know what I mean? Like you choose your lineup, you know, and you choose it based on whatever, and then like you kind of see how it does versus everybody's lineup by the end of the day or end of the week or you know whichever one you're playing, right? So even from a time investment, it's not much, and you can enter multiple times too. So that's like the cool part too, and they can multiply their earnings that way too. So it's really smart. I mean, fantasy sports has been a very successful industry for a long time now, but hasn't until daily fantasy has become very popular, marketed, that it's become, you know, threefolds. I mean, like the revenue made from it now is just crazy, like much, much larger than it used to be. And it was just because of that, right? So it's definitely an interesting time. I mean, like you said, they're starting to crack down on certain companies like FanDuel and DraftKings in certain states in the U.S. at least. You know, mm-hmm. I think it's banned in New York now, and another one recently. I can't remember which one recently, but more states are starting to, you know, to disallow these type of business or fantasy esports or people from participating in them, or at least these companies from making money from people in those states. And it'll be interesting to see if it continues on, but you know, the other states are fine. So these companies they're not shutting down. I think people like freaked out when they heard that it was the FanDuel that's based in New York. You know, I think their offices are in New York, and the fact that they got a shutdown in New York meant that the company was shut down, but that's not true. They just had to, I don't even think they had to even move, really. I just find it funny because
it's like, it opens up the big discussion about gambling. Like, what are they really against? The gambling itself, or just the company being a gambling company that's not owned by the government? Like, it opens up a can of worms that you almost don't want to get into, because you'll just be ending up, you know, talking about that specific thing forever.
Yeah.
But for Hearthstone specifically, like, as far as it pertains to the game itself, it's mostly Blizzard, you know, since everything's kind of blacklisted at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
There's really very little in terms of monitoring from Blizzard's side as far as the matches and the integrity of them. I know, you know, we had a recent problem with HWC points. They looked into it. I'm pretty sure they did whatever they had to, and they're going to do a lot more close monitoring in the future.
Oh, you're talking about the whole fraud thing, right?
Sure. Yeah. But if you could like match fix in a game like Hearthstone, like a misplay is easy to see in Hearthstone, I guess, or to make. Like a small slip up that you know is objectively worse than another. That you know the opponent is going to be able to capitalize on. It wouldn't look like match fixing. You can miss lethal. It happens all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if you could really have something like this when it comes to betting on players without giving players the incentive to cheat the system. I don't know.
But that's true of everything, though. I mean, we've seen some match fixing in CSGO and StarCraft 2. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
I mean, huge. Like, StarCraft 2, the Korea thing was huge, right? But
yeah.
It's possible in every game is what I'm saying. So that's not unique to Hearthstone, I don't believe.
Yeah, I guess.
I would argue that Hearthstone's one of the harder games to throw at. I think it's pretty clear like what your play should be for most turns of the game, and then to
to like, throw
you,
it
you
like
can't just you can't just not Force of Nature Savage Roar on a given turn. Like,
you just don't put them in your deck, dude. You build another druid deck. That's the whole thing. You just put a crazed alchemist and a mana addict in your dream.
I mean, they were gonna have like all these like life coach like ATL craziness situations where it's like if there's any little chance that it could not happen, you know, then you can't even debate it. You know what I mean? It's definitely crazy things like that. Hopefully Blizzard will come around. It's not even just Blizzard. I heard it's Activision. Like it's coming from like even higher than just Blizzard. That Activision has an issue with it. And
so you're saying we're getting Blizzard bet or like MLG bet? Is that it?
Oh my gosh! Can you imagine that? Oh my gosh! MLG comes out with their own
Major League
Esports.
Betting MLB. Oh no, that's already taken.
No, MLB is already taken. Yeah,
so. I don't think
MLG's not gaming; it's gambling.
Took over. If Blizzard started doing daily fantasy or betting for Blizzard games, that would be better than leaving it to third parties, I think. Because then Blizzard can do it the right way where it doesn't screw everyone over.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully eventually they'll, whether it's them or, I mean, it'd be nice if they even just allowed the Alpha Drafts to do stuff, just because, like you said, I think Alpha Draft wants to sponsor a ton of things in Hearthstone. And right now they can't, you know. They probably sponsor Tempest Storm and maybe this show and ATL, obviously, and lots of great things, like, in our community. So I'm hoping it comes around. I'm hoping, you know, maybe the fact that recently in the news, we didn't talk about this, you know, Vulcan, you know, the company that's kind of caused all of this stuff, these problems with the fantasy sites, they're actually pivoting. They're like, stopping doing it. They laid off like a ton of their staff, and they're not going to be doing this fantasy stuff anymore. So
yeah, but that's like just Vulcan, and that could be a thing specific with their company. It's not happening to Alpha Draft, as far as we know.
Oh yeah, no, I think Alpha Draft's happy about it. If anything, probably
throwing a party, just opening up the champagne. Yeah, like, exactly. Hey, goodbye, Vulcan. You won't be missed. I could see that. Yeah.
But so we'll have to see. We'll see if fantasy sites come back here. Okay, let's move on. Let's talk about, oh gosh, the juicy topic. Here we go.
So,
yeah. All right, Hearthstone, Reddit, censorship discussion. Censorship. All right.
I'm going to go hide. You guys take out the nuclear bombs. Call me when the fallout's over.
Okay, I think this is what probably everybody wants to hear about. And so Raynad obviously has had videos, and you've done videos recently. I think originated on your stream, you know, just a little bit of your stream one night. You giving your opinion on the new changes to the rules in the Hearthstone subreddit. And this is mostly resulting from the whole Masan thing, just Masan viewbodying slash just everything, just craziness going on with Masan. And you kind of gave your opinions. I guess maybe give a quick summary of your opinions, and then I guess we'll each talk about, I guess, our thoughts on just the changes. Ray, we'll start with you, just because I think most people have probably seen the video, but just a real quick summary.
Yeah, so a quick summary is just, I mean, I don't know, man. Am I really qualified to talk, Chris? Because, you know, according to Reddit, I'm just a horrible person in a million
you are,
ways.
Oh, come on. Embrace it. Just embrace it. Just
and because of that, my points are entirely invalid. So.
Yeah. Okay.
They are the leading authority on that, so, you know. Maybe I'll just be quiet for this one.
What? Sorry, that is not going to happen.
Self-censorship.
That is absolutely not going to happen.
My summary is basically like that evidence of Masan, not just Masan viewbotting, but of like all of these, oh, I found evidence that so-and-so is a scumbag posts just shouldn't be on Reddit. I just don't think the Hearthstone subreddit's the place for that.
Whoa.
I think like if a tournament or something fucks up, then yeah, Reddit's like a fine place to post that.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that like you just shouldn't be having these like targeted posts trying to tear individual people down.
So I mean, you is it an individual versus an event? I mean, is that where you're having have an issue with?
Yeah. I mean, if events do fuck up, it's tough for Blizzard to take notice otherwise. I mean, I can't really say if it's tough. Maybe if you just email Blizzard, they look into it right away. I'm sure if you email their esports department, they will get on that right away.
I think they would.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I get maybe even for tournaments you shouldn't do that. Maybe just Reddit isn't the place for it. The problem is like everyone on Reddit thinks it's really interesting to read posts like that because it is a lot of the time. And they want to read that post and then get this justice boner of like jumping on the bandwagon of everyone hating on this like company or this person. So like I get why those posts are popular. I get why people want them. It's just like the whole. I basically made a video with my thoughts on it. I talked about it on stream with some colorful language, and then I made a YouTube video.
Oh, colorful language. Yeah. I like euphemisms as much as the next guy, but that was pretty good.
Okay, well, Noxious, what are your thoughts on it? I mean, I think a lot of people did watch your videos, and I mean, it was like the top of Reddit for either your stream or your video was the top of Reddit for like a couple days now.
If you just find that topic, though, on the Hearthstone subreddit, the key thing there is like Raynad accuses the Hearthstone subreddit of being witch hunting assholes, to which their response is,
I love your witch hunting right
is the person criticizing.
Oh goodness, this is
I love your summaries, dude. Your summaries are
entire
awesome.
Entire thread is them proving me right, but they don't see it.
What? Oh my god, that's so funny. All right, Noxious,
that's good shit.
All right, what are your thoughts on it?
Well, I mean, I feel like the censorship thing is interesting because there's been other games that have like divided the subreddit where, you know, you talk about the video game like on one subreddit. And then if you want to talk about drama, you go on like Reddit, you know, on the Forsen subreddit. Like there's an unofficial one where people just go and they talk about whatever the fuck they want. But as soon as it comes to the main subreddit of that game, you want to kind of keep the game like, you want to keep the talk, I guess, related to the video game itself. And, like, I can totally understand that. I'm not for censorship. I just feel like maybe the place to discuss these matters is not the subreddit of Hearthstone, considering it's essentially, like, is basically where people talk about the game. Like, if I play WoW and I want WoW information or talk about stuff, I can go on MMO Champion, but there's still more stuff to talk about if I go to the gen forums. Of course, found PvP, Arena Junkies, yada yada. But when it comes to Hearthstone specifically, I just go on, you know, Hearthstone Reddit. Like, that's where I go. The general forums are a cesspool of, you know, Chinese bots posting random, like, strings of letters. And, it's just ridiculous. There's almost no modding happening there. The MVPs, I mean, they're doing, I guess, their job, but nothing's really going on that's interesting. It's mostly people coming up, like, with random rage posts, like, oh my god, I get fucking destroyed by a priest who Thoughtstole, you know, Thoughtstole is broken, nerf Thoughtsteal, or Master Swordsmith buffed a Wisp 7 times, but, like, Master Swordsmith or Wisp should be nerfed. It's a cesspool. So I go to Reddit for those kind of posts, like, discussion about the game that's at least of a level that I think is going to be nice. But for some reason, for the last week, has been very little about the game and a lot about the drama that surrounds specific individuals. It all started with Masan. You could see it as like the specific starting point. But beyond that, I think the topic itself is just, you have to be on the receiving end of a witch hunt to realize just how toxic it is, I think, to even start defending it. I don't know.
Yeah, I know what you mean by that.
I think that, like, If we ignore the, you know, 90% of people who are like, you know, fuck you, Raynad, and look at the actual two counter arguments that a few sane individuals have presented, the two counter arguments are basically, number one, well, what do you want to have on the subreddit if you're not going to have drama? It's going to be kind of boring. And number two, if we're not posting it on the subreddit, then, like, how is justice going to be served, you know? So this is my, like, counter argument to those two things, I guess, would be, like, if people want justice to be served, then go through official channels. Blizzard takes things like fake tournaments, and Twitch takes things like viewbotting so incredibly seriously. Like, they 9 times out of 10 are aware of it before you are, and in the case of, like, a tournament doing something scummy or, like, a person doing something illegitimate, if you approach them about it, like, they will look into it 100% of the time. It's, like, top priority for all these companies. They're not just going to ignore it. Reddit is just a place where, like, people can physically see people get riled up, and they know that people are aware about the issue, and that's, like, all it is just wanting a bigger audience for your shitstorm.
Okay, so I definitely have opinions on this one, and I think they're a little they're the opposite of yours, Andre. So this should be interesting. So I actually think that those posts should be made, but I mean, should be allowed. I think the changes actually to the subreddit are good, and I think there still may be some edits that are more bullets that need to be added to the rules that contain some of the craziness whenever it does happen. But I think the initial threads talking about, like, if Mazan view bots or if somebody is, you know, doing something they should not be doing, right? Not necessarily the personal stuff, which they did include in the rules, like, not somebody, you know, whatever, sleeping with somebody and that sort of thing, but in terms of, you know, their careers, you know, streaming and stuff that they have in the rules, I think it's important to talk about that, because you're right that you can go and report it to certain channels, like, Mazan's view botting, go talk to Twitch, right? And you can do that sort of thing. But we know that Twitch is working on it, and it, you know, it just continues to happen, right? And we know that they're doing something, because it's not running rampant right now. Like, you would think that there would be a ton of V-bots just, like, everywhere right now. But they're doing something to, like, contain it. But there are definitely evidence of some weird, you know, these weird chat viewers/people in chat that seem to look like bots. And that just keeps coming up and up, you know, it just keeps reoccurring, right? That sort of thing. So initially talking about it, I think is fine, because, you know, in terms of justice, you know, in terms of trying to, like, can they make these viewbots go away? No, they can't make them go away. But can they, like, reveal that possibly, you know, like, this guy isn't as popular as he is? So, you know, when you do see him at the top, you know, like, make a decision. Like, do you, you know, want to go and click on this link and watch the stream or not? You know what I mean? It's just making people aware of that it's, you know, they're not being, I don't want to say deceived, but, you know, there's something a little bit more to it possibly, right? Just making people aware of that. Can it turn into something that we talk about every day? Yeah, and that's where it starts getting like, okay, this is kind of bad for the
community.
Yeah, when it's a daily thread, then okay, yeah, the mods need to do something about this. When it's like 25 threads only talking about Hassan's bots, okay, the mods need to go in and combine all those into one thread. Like, I've seen that happened in the StarCraft community. Like, the mods would go combine all the similar threads and make them into just one thread, so it's not like the freaking entire subreddit, right? But talking about these things, I mean, it's part of the community, you know what I mean? And the thing about Hearthstone is, and this is what Nox is getting at, is that we don't have a community site. Our community site is Reddit, right?
It's Reddit. That's basically what we do everything.
But that's kind of fucked up. It's fucked up that Reddit is our community site. Like, Reddit is Reddit. Like, Reddit's supposed to be this very open environment, like organic environment. Doesn't need a little bit of moderation, sure. But, like, ideally, in a perfect world, it shouldn't need any moderation, right? Like, what people want to talk about is what should show up on Reddit. But the fact that it is our community site is where it like screws everything up. Like, I know one in your video, Ray, like you mentioned, Blizzard should step in at this point. You know, like, if there's any time to step in, this is the time that Blizzard should step in and say something. But then it's like, that just defeats like what Reddit's supposed to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like an open platform.
It's not supposed to be that.
About everything.
Yeah, I only meant that if they're the ones that started the subreddit, which I heard they were.
Right.
But, I've been told as well. I've been told that they were heavily involved in the moderation and the posting of it. And they can request stuff to be taken down. I don't know about right now. Initially, I think it was moderated heavily by the guys from Curse, and then they stepped down. Like, I don't know.
That's
Blizzard,
because they got called out on it.
Yeah, they got called out on it. But I mean,
you know,
I don't know
what's disgusting about that. They will always be the biggest Hearthstone site because of the SEO snowball effect by getting an early lead.
Early lead, yeah.
Oh, really?
All you need is one Reddit fall guy, and like, boom, the biggest Hearthstone website on Google indefinitely until the end of time.
Because he was called out on it. Oh my god,
that was so like.
That was the Flash Fluxer thing,
right? That's why I'm getting started on Candy Crush. Like, next time they do Candy Crush, like, 3.0, I got, like, Candy Crush Pwn, and I'm ready to go. I'm just going to publicize that website. Ready.
Yeah.
It's ready already. Like, I've got it.
So, Ray, I'm going to just straight up. Does a lot of the feelings you have on this have to do with the Magic Amy thing? I mean, is that...
What the Magic Amy thing has to do with it is it basically took away any faith that I have in Reddit's ability to give a shit about evidence. So I know that if this is allowed, I know that in the long run, even if 90% of the people they decide to witch hunt are guilty, like, you know, the remaining couple people will be like accused while being innocent. And that's like, that is so incredibly awful in my opinion in so many ways that it just shouldn't be allowed. A lot of your argument from what I heard is just like wanting a new Twitch feature that says,
Twitch feature?
But talking about like it should be more known that these people aren't legit or whatever.
Ideally, we're talking in terms of Masan. I mean, the general rule change has more to do with Masan. But with Masan, if Twitch would just filter out those concurrents from showing up or have a different ranking system that wouldn't put Masan at the top, then we wouldn't even be talking about Vubots.
There's a guy in the Masan post or in the Rainad, but one of the Reddit posts about the drama that basically explained the VBot system, basically said that he was involved with it, he's programmed them, he's used them before, and he basically laid it out and he said that Twitch did crack down after the first wave about a year ago, and the price of a bot went from like 1 cent
pennies
a piece now it's 50 cents per view, and you need two separate bots, one to go into the chat list, one to actually add to the view count. Mm-hmm. And both of these bots have two individual, like, things that they do with the code. And basically, like, explain how it all operates. And what were we talking about? I completely...
I'm talking about filtering them out. Like, I'm talking about the end-all thing is to filter them out.
So what I'm saying is that, like, most of the traditional view bots, like, you can't just pay $40 and have 100,000 viewers and, like, have that pop up anymore. Like, bots are expensive as shit, and it's...
Wait, what are these services
that... Twitch has already filtered it out, is what I'm saying.
What are these services that aren't expensive as shit, then? Like, we see all these sites where...
Well, if you do it yourself, it's pretty cheap, on by I guess. Twitch.
Twitch killed them all.
Well, yeah, Twitch really did... Like,
yeah, I know they're definitely doing a bunch. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I know they've done a bunch. Like I said, it would be... running rampant right now. We'd see like 10,000 viewers, like I don't know,
it was
like
for
a ton
like
of
2 weeks, and then they killed it. You'd see a random RuneScape streamer with 20k every single hour of the day.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Here's the key thing. Like, let's say, like, I don't really like Masan, right? Let's imagine that crazy world.
Imagine that crazy world.
Okay. Or Amaz. Let's say Amaz.
Or Amaz. That's what I meant.
Amaz. Okay. Oh, boy. This is going to be interesting right here.
Let's imagine a crazy reality in which I'm less than pleased with Amaz. So I can go out and I can buy ViewBots and, you know, put them on his channel. Just, you know, I have the money to do it. I'll just give him 5-10K ViewBots, and I'll do it for 3 months in a row, either because I hate him or because I'm a big fan of him. And then, you know, I make an alternate Reddit account and use a proxy, and then I'll make a post, or here's my evidence on why I think Amaz is a ViewBot. Look at all these chat views. Oh, this doesn't make sense. Then I make another account, and I'm like, oh, here's more evidence I found about Amaz. And then people start talking about this because, you know, it's an Imgur album. That is irrefutable, legally evidence, binding evidence. Yeah. How could they possibly not convict someone based off of a, you know, a 3-minute YouTube video? You know, under this system, it's 100% allowed. And what I'm saying at the end of the day is, like, you're mad about ViewBots? It's a Twitch issue. Twitch is 100% more informed and more qualified to make decisions about the right way to handle it. The reason that Masan still streams, even if ViewBotting happened in the past or if it still happens, is because Masan, there's no way to prove whether Masan is doing it himself or not. Mm-hmm. And everyone always says this, and then people just, like, ignore that argument and move on. Like, at the end of the day, Twitch knows what's best for their community. The people that they've hired are the best in the world at what they do. The people that have pioneered the industry, the people that are actually the best, like, they're one of the best paying, best companies to work for in fucking Silicon Valley. Like, they're super competent and are more qualified to deal with Masan in the right way and know whether he's actually ViewBotting and how much and in what ways, way more than your average 15-year-old kid on Reddit. And it's like,
I get that. There's so many Hearthstone
subreddits. Yeah. If you want to watch Hearthstone VODs, there's a Reddit for that. If you want to talk about competitive Hearthstone, there's a subreddit for that. Why are you not okay with making a Hearthstone drama subreddit? Why does it have to be on the biggest fucking audience because you want the most people to hear about this shitstorm? It's just like...
Well, then, okay, so what do we put on the Hearthstone subreddit then?
Drama? All the drama?
No, I'm just saying, like, no, generally speaking, what do we put on the Hearthstone subreddit? Is it just funny moments videos?
Right? Is it just.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you look at the traffic on this. Yeah, it's.
So here's the big revelation that a lot of people are missing. Believe it or not, Hearthstone is a fucking mobile game with 5 to 10 minute games that you play casually in your casual time. Like, the Hearthstone subreddit where you discuss this fucking children's card game should not be the place that you go to for your day-to-day drama. Watch a soap opera, get a girlfriend, like, do anything. Like, that Hearthstone subreddit is not supposed to be, like, your one-stop shop for every source of entertainment in your fucking day-to-day life. It's so stupid that people have that opinion. It's like, oh, I'm bored of seeing the same, oh, I opened a good pack post. I'm bored of seeing which legendary should I craft. It's like, well, then, yeah, you know, check out the Counter-Strike subreddit. Maybe play that game. Maybe do something on Reddit other than, like, expect r/Hearthstone to fulfill every single entertainment need in your life. That actually has a lot of variety. There's custom cards. There's people showing cool plays. People showing stream highlights. People doing a lot of stuff that just isn't... People making YouTube videos about, like, where did this card originate? Or here are inconsistencies in Hearthstone or Ben Brode tweets. There's actually, like, a billion different things that show up. And just because they bore you doesn't mean that you should, like, turn the subreddit into a cesspool for your entertainment. That's because, like,
here's the thing.
A lot of people have gotten this impression that Hearthstone is supposed to be super entertaining, and Twitch has made it into more than a game where there's character development. People follow streamers' lives. People follow the drama in the community. They follow the events. Like, it's become more than this casual game, but, like, that specific Reddit forum should just be about discussing the game. It shouldn't be about all this ancillary, like,
The noise, yeah. The surrounding noise that has nothing to do with the gameplay itself. Because, like, the game itself is all about sharing advice, perhaps, about specific things. Like, there's competitive Hearthstone if you want high-level ones, but what about what should I do to get gold? What should I do with this dust? This is the deck I like most. Which class is good for beginner? Screenshots of stuff that happened that you just fucking love that you want to talk to people about. Like, even if it ends up being kind of boring, casual stuff compared to watching, let's say, a streamer video, you know, something goes absolutely nuts on that during his game because it's a single image and you don't have the context of it, which I think is what people get bored by, is when it's just image posts all over the place and it brings very little to consume for a long time. I feel like that's what the game should be, like the subreddit should be a little bit more about. I don't know that it has anything to do with censorship, though, Chris.
Censorship is it's a little bit strong of a term. It's more of just like what they're filtering out, like what they're, you know, being moderated is what they're filtering out. And I don't disagree with like things like a drunk stream where it's, you know, a bunch of craziness going on in a stream, you know, like a Raynad stream sometimes. Like, you know, that shouldn't be on. Guys. Yeah, yeah. It's something, you know, like, I can understand the argument. That shouldn't be on our Hearthstone, right? But when things like the Masan Viewbot thing, like, I mean, that's a different kind of drama. I mean, drama, there's like different levels of drama, guys, right? There's like stuff that deals with, you know, more like relationship-ish type of things and things that have to do with the streamers. That's one type of drama. But there's also drama that has to do with just, you know, the Hearthstone community, like the viewing community, as just, you know, even just watching the players, or if somebody's, you know, cheating at a tournament, or, you know, whatever, right? Those things are Hearthstone related, and they don't happen every day. Like, you're making it sound like it happens every day. Like, it doesn't.
You know how easy it is to mask an argument as like, oh, this is important for the greater good of Hearthstone, and this is why it pertains to the health of the game and the community. It's like so easy to justify so much targeted shit talk because of that, and there are any number of reasons that one human being can call another one a scumbag. And just because, like if every single one of these posts were on Masan level, I would be totally okay with it. But when it's things like
pour your heart,
the Advicta versus Hearth Arena thing.
Okay, that's a good example. Like, this is a really good example. Okay.
Seriously, like, had the Hearth Arena guy not had the balls to step in and disprove everything, right? Maybe if he just didn't like being mobbed by random angry internet nerds and he felt more comfortable just walking away from all of it, like Magic Amy did, then it would be kind of a different story. Then Reddit would assume that justice was served, that Advicto was 100% in the right, and that they have made the community better by weeding out this horrible Hearth Arena owner. Thanks to this witch hunt that they created. But that's not actually what happened, is it? Like, there's two sides to the story.
Right.
But, like, it's always like that. Like, there's always two sides to a story. There's always going to be people that try to stir up shit that rightfully shouldn't be stirred up, or that they're just lying about. And Reddit, like, when you read a Reddit post, You're on the page for 30 seconds. You're not going to fact check everything. It's not worth everybody's time. You're not like, it's just, eventually it's going to happen to where people will justify it as, oh, I'm trying to make the community better. This pertains to the health of the community. I you know, this is why I'm making
this. Yeah, it's too easy to manipulate gossip to make it, like, to basically discredit somebody that you don't like. Like, it goes back to the Viewbot stuff. The internet has made it a lot easier as well, which is kind of funny because if you look over the past few years, there's a lot of talk about cyberbullying. And funny enough, that's kind of what it is, whether or not you want to go back to that Trump video about cyberbullied. But it's like humiliation is real when just you have a mob of people who don't know anything about you. The only interaction they've ever got with you was through whatever it is that you made as content online. They don't, as you said, fact check. Not necessarily because they don't want to, but because they can't even find the info very often. You can't even find the info on the internet for half the stuff you look up. So it's very easy to just take at face value whatever somebody brings up about whatever, like another person or any topic, in fact. Every subreddit has got a bunch of bullshit. Then sometimes you'll have like a guy coming in to discredit whatever bullshit was peddled. But in the case of Hearthstone, the only people who can do that very often are the people being targeted. you know, themselves. And if they don't want to, which will happen in the case of certain personality traits, you'll just never hear at the end of it. So the story will end, as you said, is that person walking away. And it ends up being a habit where I guess people start witch hunting as a way to fix the community. And it becomes kind of an ingrained thing where if one little small thing goes bad, you just bring it up. And the question I have as a follow-up to that is, what does it take for one person to be demonized? Like, what do they have to start doing before that person is considered witch huntable? Like, when are they a witch? Like, when do they start becoming that? Like, what's the offense they have to commit? That's the one thing I'm also a little curious about sometimes, because I don't even know half the time why. Well,
we keep talking about individuals too. Yeah. So here's an example. I mean, we should answer that. Well, let's answer that question first. Not
sure.
It's what does it take for one person to be at the subject of one of these things? Is that what you mean?
The Masan thing is enough, apparently. Like, just being a Twitch streamer is enough with some fake views.
Yeah, so it's possibly something you can't even prove, I guess, is what you're saying. It's like, you don't even know for sure that person is doing anything wrong, but right. It's perceived as a capital offense.
Yeah, I mean, I've always felt that it was somewhat of a... It is... a waste of time trying to figure out if Masan, you know, is doing the view botting himself. That's not the point. The point is that, you know, the view botting is what's helping him, you know, essentially get advertising, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, whether people stay or not really dictates whether his stream is worth, you know, it has entertainment value and things like that. Essentially, view botting is like what other companies do online when they buy ads, right? They spend a shitload of money, you know, or like in the mobile world, which where I'm from, you know, you'll buy a shitload of ads. You'll scale up the iOS charts, you know, chart up to a top 25 game. And then if your game's good enough over a period of time, it'll stay, you know, like in the top 200 or 300, which is actually pretty good in the mobile industry. But if it sucks, it'll just drop all the way back down. You know, it's tens of thousands, whatever rank, right? And that's essentially what Masan's the view botting thing does. It's just it's like you buying ads, and then hopefully one day you just shut off the view bots, and then you just see how you end up. You know, if you end up having 2,000 or 3,000 concurrent view, then stream, then you probably mission accomplished, right? But if you do it every single day, you know, that's when it starts becoming kind of weird, because when you start doing it every single day is when you start like landing sponsored deals and weird things like that. I don't know. But when it comes to, view botting, it's just the disingenuousness of it, right? Like the people, the community just feel like they're being tricked or something like that. And I think that's that's at least why they reacted the way they react to view botting. Unless I'm wrong, I don't know. You guys think
so? To answer Noxious's question, then what's the?
I don't know what the minimum threshold is.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
it's like
what I'm curious.
It hasn't happened that many times.
What I'm saying is, I don't give a shit like how often the witch hunting will happen. Let's say it only happens once a month, right? Let's say it doesn't become a daily thing. Okay. I don't care how often it happens. I'm saying that like in any capacity, it should be kept off the website, because yes, let's say that all three of us agree with you that in Masan's case, it's like good that info is out there, right? I don't agree with that, but even if I did, hypothetically, I still would not want witch hunting on the subreddit, because like, yes, in this case it's fine, and then like five or six of these things down the line, one of them is just
bogus,
an illegitimate accusation without sufficient evidence that Redditors are going to take as sufficient evidence, and then, you know, somebody's life gets ruined. It's like, yeah, you can disprove it in a lot of ways, no matter what the accusation is, but like...
Okay, so here's another example. What about the wind trading thing? You know, that happened like a year ago or a year and a half ago. What do we do about that?
Blizzard banned several hundred accounts in China, or like several dozen. They banned the top 19 out of 20 ladder players. They banned like 10 people in NA. Mm-hmm. They banned Prodigy and all that. They banned...
Yeah, we had a guy in Kazakhstan. Some, yeah.
They banned people before made posts about it.
Okay.
Like, the first wind trading post of all time was the very first season that they incorporated the Hearthstone ranked system. And it was by Razor and the other guy whose name I don't remember. I think it might have been... started with an F. I don't think it was Fibonacci. These two guys basically win traded.
Yeah, I remember that. It was
legendary for the first time ever in Hearthstone.
Yeah.
And I know what you guys are saying. Like, it's hard to believe because TempoStorm.com wasn't around at the time. But trust me, these guys got legendary, and they did it by win trading. And they made a post saying, hey, here's how we did it. We think that there might be a problem with the system. And, you know, it was 100% legitimate post to make. So anyway, that was the first time it happened. And then win trading happened, and Blizzard banned people. It didn't take a Reddit shitstorm to do it. After Prodigy got banned, he made a Reddit shitstorm saying, like, you know, I don't want to play this game or whatever.
This game sucks. Right. I just did it.
This game blows.
Blah, blah. Right. I remember, like, initially when, like, the WoW Arena win trading started, there were a few posts of, you know, the White Knights, I guess you could put it that way, that were trying to shed light on it, but they engaged in the win trading to show how it worked. But it's not as though Blizzard's fucking retarded. Like, these systems have always been obviously exploitable. But, like, witch hunting the guys who are behind it, I guess, like, it becomes an issue of, like, it's not really a public matter. Because the name of the person who doesn't isn't necessarily as important as the flaw. So it's not so much of a, like, I think maybe the problem we've got with Hearthstone is it's not Masson we're against, it's the viewbotting, but it happens to be the case that the way Hearthstone's marketed is through big personalities, and as a result of that, you know, they become public faces for people to associate with whatever bad things they do. So they have kind of a responsibility, a duty of responsibility, I guess. I'm not sure how to put it, but it's just people expect them to do better than they would expect someone else to.
I think a counter argument to that is that that's a very good point, right? Like, you know, Blizzard went and did that. You too, Noxious.
They did.
But the Blizzard, you know, they went in, they banned people, and that, you know, was the correct. You know, maybe somebody reported that this guy was cheating, and they looked into it, and they, you know, like, took this request seriously, and they immediately looked into it. And that's, like, great, and that's how ideally it should be, but because, you know, we're in a world where people just report each other for no reason, you know, whenever they're pissed, you know, or BMing and shit like that and trolling people, that, you know, Blizzard or Twitch or whatnot, they're not going to take, like, one or two requests and it's like, okay, we should definitely put some resources into this and look into this immediately. I mean, that's not how it works, right?
Yeah,
so sometimes it takes, like, sometimes the community reporting these things or the masses reporting these things does bring it to light. You know, and there are instances of that too. So I agree with you that there are instances where it can be abused and it will burn somebody. But at the same time, there are instances where it does good too. You know, like when this kind of thing happens. And r/Hearthstone being our community site is, I think, another very core issue to all this. You know, what should be shown there and what it should act as. And I think so far the subreddit, you know, the mods there, as much as, you know, shit you give them or we give them, you know, they are trying their best, right, to make it as representative of the community as possible. Like, I like what they're doing with the streaming things on the side. Like, you know, like, discover this person. That's like no other subreddit does that right now.
I think ultimately, like, comes down to, so do I like the Hearthstone community or not? Because if the community wants this,
dude, that's every community is like this, guys.
Does the community suck or is the community good?
Every, like, community, like, come on, guys. Every community has drama. Every community,
sure,
you know, like, yeah, upvotes that shit. I mean, StarCraft,
if they're asking
CSGO,
to change the rules,
League of Legends,
in that favor, then I guess it comes down to, do I just disagree with the community and what they like? Do I think they're retarded? Do I perhaps just agree with them? I guess that's pretty much the disagreement, and where it stems from is, like, maybe the like, Reyna just doesn't like what the community wants to see on the Hearthstone subreddit, and they wish they would air their concerns about drama elsewhere. That's probably, like, how it kind of comes
down to.
R-Forsen
becomes
the best place,
HS drama, basically.
Yeah, easy. Like, you find everything you need over there. Easy.
Yeah, I guess so. But yeah, so
I think most of the stuff we discussed today is completely off topic and entirely irrelevant to what the point even was.
Okay.
But what you just said, though, Noxious, yeah, that was on point for sure. I don't know, Chris, you said some stuff that some bad can come of this type of behavior and some good can come of it. My counter argument is, when has good ever come of it? You're seeing the Masson stuff happening right now as, like, a good outcome, when in reality it's like botting for 2 years. Like,
I'm not saying it's good or bad with Masson. I'm not pointing at Masson.
Right, so what's a case where it's been good? What's a case where this type of, like, targeted witch hunting thing, where Reddit was the only possible way to solve it, rather than going through official channels, and this was the solution.
I mean, there's been instances where organizations haven't paid players. You know what I mean? And, you know,
when, like when? What short?
I mean, in Hearthstone.
Not so much in Hearthstone.
I mean, there was one with Tides, right? Tides mentioned something like once, like a long time. But in other games, there's been instances where you know, basically players have been trying to get their money for a long time and trying, and then they got into the point where they aired it. You know, they
I know what you're talking about. Do you know what the Reddit post that you're talking about was a link to? It was a link to a newspaper article about esports athletes taking over a year to get paid from Chinese tournaments.
Yeah, and I remember that.
Oh, that, you're talking about Tides, right? Yeah, the Tides one. Yeah,
yeah, and my argument there is that stuff, first of all, isn't even related to witch hunting individuals at all, so that's not an example. But even
well, we're talking about censorship. We're not talking about, okay. I mean, that's what I was saying. Like,
even if you were using that as an example of like when singling out individuals has resulted in a net benefit for the community, I would argue that that was just a post to a news article, so that was already public information, right? That was like a Daily Dot article, or I don't remember the exact news.
Pretty sure it was Daily Dot, yeah, back then.
Mm-hmm.
But like the basically like what I'm asking is the type of behavior that I'm saying should not be on the Hearthstone subreddit. Can you give me an example of when that kind of behavior has done good
on the Hearthstone subreddit?
Yes.
I mean, because the thing is, I guess exposing an organization for not playing like paying players is not the same as witch hunting a single person.
Right. I'm totally okay with exposing organizations. Yeah.
Sure, an organization is a very different thing than an individual, is kind of what we're getting at here. I think this is pretty much hitting the
right. I don't want targeted witch hunts that, like, if you're linking a media piece, like a news article about like an organization doing something scummy, that's totally fine if it pertains to Hearthstone. When you are a like 17-year-old keyboard warrior or whatever, and you're like gathering all of this circumstantial bullshit that only feeds the narrative that you want, and you post it as evidence, and your other like 17-year-old idiots on Reddit are like, oh gee, that looks legit, let me upvote this, and just like results in whoever this individual being targeted is like being, I don't know, it's really shitty to like allow that. Like, yeah, it just ruins them.
So targeting individuals is a no-go, but organizations fine, I guess, is the
Is the sum of it?
But that's kind of how I look at this.
Okay.
But I mean, it's not even an individual versus organization thing. It's like you can target, like, it's fine to post an article, like a news article, of an individual doing something scummy if it pertains to Hearthstone, you know? So
that's because a journalist, I guess, figured out
dogfighting or whatever, like, you know, that's a hell of an article. But I'm not going to take a picture of my dog and take a picture of Ben Brode and like,
I mean, and make a meme out of it
in MS Paint and like make an imager album of this shit and be like, here's my evidence that Ben Brode is a scumbag. Like, no, those kind of posts are what should be off, you know, or kept off the subreddit.
Well, I definitely don't disagree with that. Like, for sure.
No, well, that's what the Masson thing is, but you want the Masson thing.
Because
in that case, he's probably guilty, right? So, like, what I'm saying is there's going to be a time when they're not guilty, 100%.
I think that's what comes with it, too.
Enough reason to keep it off.
God. Okay. Well, we'll have to agree to disagree there. At least, I think we do agree on certain things. It's just, I think, like, black and white, there are certain things that are just generally black and white. If we're having to go black and white, we're definitely on different... different places there, but that's how it is. Like, I think the general community is like that too. I don't think like the entire community like disagrees with you, right? But one thing's for sure, like the response from the mod to you and just and all that stuff was definitely wrong.
That was definitely out of place.
Yeah,
it turns out he's still a mod, actually. Still that character and decision making and people capable of those judgment calls are still in charge of what goes on in that subreddit.
Okay.
Yeah, well, he shouldn't be
responsible.
That's weird.
To make shit up about me when it came to, like, saying no to a mob of teenagers, then I think the subreddit would be a better place.
Shit. I mean, even if it wasn't making up stuff, like, he just shouldn't ever respond. Like, no mod should be responding to anybody, any of us like that. So,
It doesn't make sense.
It was personal attack. They should not personally attack any of us. I mean, that's just...
Yeah. I mean, look at the post when I made that video. The comments for the first, like, 5 hours were, like, overwhelming support in favor of what I was saying. And you look at it now, and it's, like, 90%. Here's why Raynad's a scumbag, and this is why his opinion's wrong. Or not. This is why Raynad's a scumbag, and because of that, his opinion is wrong. Or because of that, his opinion's irrelevant. So that's like
you think that's because of his post?
Oh, it is.
Okay. Oh, really? Noxious, you think that's
a bunch of idiots, and like those idiots are the people that get to decide what comes of people's reputations.
I'm not saying it wouldn't have gone negative otherwise. I'm just saying it definitely just started off a huge snowball effect. That's for sure.
Well, it started off very positive, right? If the snowball
at the beginning it was
in effect, everyone would be behind me. But it's just not right. It's
yeah,
that should be like the outcome, though, right? Like if somebody tells you you're like a terrible person, your response is not going to be to agree with them. Your response naturally, for you know, like
argue, I
average
guess.
Stupid person would be like, no, you're terrible, and then that's like,
no, you're terrible. No, you're terrible.
It's like straight down to our ancestors, just how we've evolved, you know. I throw poop at someone, they're going to throw poop back. That's like it's monkeys
like
work.
Feces around the room. People work. Like very evolved primates. I like it.
Oh, man. All right.
Feces slinging contest.
Well, let's move on to our last segment that we always do, Q&A. Let's just see what kind of questions everybody has here.
Sure.
But those of you that might have missed like the first few minutes of the show where I linked where the questions are asked, go ahead and link them here, or you can tweet... Valuetown here. Tweet at ValuetownGG, and we'll start asking some questions here. All right, we got a couple of them. GP Lessard asks, do you think Blizzard should sell starter decks, like Magic starter decks, dual decks, to help improve the new player experience? Like those in Magic, they could feature a legend and a few uncommons, which would bolster a collection.
Bolster. Well done, sir. I like the idea, personally.
Yeah, it'd be pretty cool. I think it's a good way for new players to catch up on all the new cards that are out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so too. That'd definitely be good. All right, Payman Horbani from Cape Cod. What do you think about tournament mode that's a combination of Brawl Arena mechanics already in the game? So you can spend money or gold, you can build a deck, then you can queue up at any time during the week and keep playing until you lose 3 times. This would be much better if they could have you build 3 decks and you could play best 2 out of 3, but that's for future, I hope. It's an interesting idea, changing the arena, basically.
Well,
or making the brawl like the arena, I guess. That's
okay, so you build multiple decks within it, and you get to choose. I thought what he meant is you go into Tavern Brawl, and you have an arena draft to make. And I'm like, that's pretty awesome. But again, it's like the Discover thing. They kind of made that happen recently with the Discover Brawl.
Yeah, that's true.
But the whole idea of having multiple decks to choose from when you're doing the arena could be kind of nice. Like, I kind of like the idea of not having to go and hit retire when I don't want to play that Hunter deck that I built, and instead I'd rather play one of the other ones, and so I could rotate between those.
Hmm.
It'd be nice, I guess.
I would like any development on arena at all, even if it's just a little bit, number by the name for a rank.
Absolutely.
Like, just any, like, I would prefer arena over constructed. I just had any
ladder or just ranking system.
Did you give me golden cards for each? Like every single time I hit 12 wins or like 10 plus, I can choose one card in my list that whenever I play it next is going to be golden. And the idea is just that you try to get something ridiculous like that. So you just get the entire collection golden in arena means you've basically just been dominating everything. Like a golden wisp would mean you're a master troll. I don't know. I think it would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. I think those are all good ideas, and I'm sure they've been throwing around some of those ideas. The Tavern Brawl for sure seems to be like unfinished, you know what I mean? Like the main part of it is, I mean, not unfinished, but I mean like the wins, right? There's like this whole win counter, but it doesn't seem to lead to anything. That's what I meant by unfinished. But the actual gameplay is great, you know, like it's developed and working well. Like I think everybody's having fun with it. But yeah, the win counter just seems to be like, okay, it's there, but it doesn't lead to anything. So they're probably going to be doing something with that very, very soon.
Achievements are coming.
Yeah, also. Something like that, right?
Know it.
Okay, Lucas Nemeth. So we're looking at Twitter here. Lucas Nemeth Anderson asks, how well does Freeze Mage fit in the current meta? Can I have Raynad answer? Wow. Yeah, that, request, Raynad.
It's pretty good. It's either, I would say it's the second best mage deck for laddering behind Tempo, but they're really close to each other. They're both really good. You get kind of like a free win every time you play against Secret Paladin, unless they're a really aggressive list, but that's unlikely. And then, you have a bunch of other good matchups as well. Mm-hmm. One thing that makes it a little worse than it was at a period last month is that now you're starting to see a lot more Warrior finally. So,
yeah,
you know, those matchups are going to be auto lose as always, but the deck is pretty good overall against other decks being played right now.
All right. Alexis Labros asks, is it even possible to recruit new players for Hearthstone teams right now? There seems to be almost no movement in the scene. Ooh, that's a good one. That's actually something that might lead to another discussion point. But
so what happens every year, or what has happened every year up until this year, is Blizzard has basically offloaded all of their esports stuff until the last like 3 months leading up to BlizzCon. So around that time of year, you see just a ton of tournaments. And then like as soon as BlizzCon's over, then it's like the holidays and no one's really doing tournaments. And then it's, the January, no one's really doing tournaments. And it'll start picking up now over the course of the next couple months. But basically this is just a quiet time of year as far as tournaments happening. So
yeah,
there's no reason why a player would stand out to an organization if that player wouldn't have stood out like 5 months ago, because there just hasn't been an event to prove yourself. And there hasn't been a reason to have Hearthstone players because there's no exposure right now.
Yeah, there is the OGN that went on like recently, but even still, it's like the names that you already knew, as you said previously. So the tournament started a while back. Like the players that are on in the scene are still through that. So makes sense.
Do you think there are enough tournaments right now that are like proving grounds? Because there's still a lot of invites and shit, but they're more, you know, I think a lot of tournaments have some slots that are open bracket type of thing.
It's a very complicated question because I could rant about this forever.
Yeah, we're going to have a show just like on that.
For sure. We're going to be talking about this probably next time.
The bullet points in a nutshell are like...
We'll save it.
Maybe I'll save it.
Yeah, we'll save it. We'll save it. Okay, Justin Caraway, do you think if Control Priest had a couple more good cards, like a good 4-drop, it would be top tier?
No, don't make this better than it is. Like, you can't have a control metagame as long as Entomb exists. Like, that just, you can't.
Oh, God, Entomb is ridiculously
good. If they make anything more control priest-oriented cards, I fear you'll just gouge your eyes out when you queue up. And I'm a priest main that I just love the class more than anything else. But if they give them anything, I don't know, control-oriented that's better than... Well, I mean, they could give it better stuff, but it can't be a solid card that you just kind of auto include. God, please no. Just no.
What? I mean, Paladin's full of those cards, man. What do you mean?
I mean, Anything Can Happen scares me too, funny enough. Like, I think Anything Can Happen and, you know, the Entomb cards, like, these two are the single most, like, there's the biggest entry barriers to having a control metagame at any given point. As long as these two exist, you can't have control be a thing.
Wow. Okay, Anything Can Happen. Yeah, okay. Ray?
It's just weird.
What are your thoughts?
What's the question?
What are your thoughts on just Control Priest? Do you think they need any more cards? Like he gave an example of a 4-drop.
It needs a 2-drop. The Curator is not a 2-drop. Like the card that Control Priest is needed forever is just a vanilla 2-mana 2/4.
Yeah. Just some kind of tempo.
Stage in without dragons.
Some tempo play, right? Yeah.
Just a vanilla 2/4, no text for 2. Mm-hmm. It would be perfect. And then Priest would be a fantastic deck.
Yeah.
By the way, there is a Hearthstone pro player that got picked up by a team in chat that they noticed. Amir got picked up by
Archon. That's right.
Oh yeah, that's
best
true.
Player on
if I can get picked up by Complexity, Mira can get picked up by Archon.
Oh, Mira. Oh, I didn't even realize you said that. Okay, cool. Gotcha. Do you think we need something like fantasy point system that exists in Smite? Ooh, I'm not very familiar with that.
Me neither.
Okay.
But fantasy is cool. I mean, LCS has their own version too. It's just a way to make like more audience engagement based off of.
Yeah, what would you do? What would we do like in Hearthstone? Like what would be the stats for fantasy?
Blowback would be a good one.
A what? Oh god.
Oh, what? No. Yeah. I'm kidding.
Oh, PvP live is like the biggest counter argument playing fantasy in Hearthstone.
Pretty fucking much. I have nothing else
to add. Oh my god. Just not the
game for it, you know?
It's hard to evaluate. Like, I mean, you'd have to have crazy difficult metrics to even form an algorithm that could calculate those. And if you take them individually, it's just going to be like an opinion piece, basically.
Right.
I remember I was talking to Alpha Draft a lot. Like right before the ATLC, and they were talking about how they were trying to do the fantasy for that, and it's like,
yeah,
super complicated. The types of things you have to try to make up for the game. So yeah, it's not really a natural fit for Hearthstone.
Yeah, it's not natural, but it'd be pretty interesting if something creative came up. You know, somebody almost created a very, you know, just a very different take on it, just, you know, take on the game, you know, in terms of making it a fantasy viable thing.
Number of Dr. Booms in the meta.
That's kind
of
where Vulcan got in trouble.
Like nothing. Like maybe keeping track of cards or archetypes could be like one of the ways to do it.
Yeah, or some type of value system. Like, I don't know. You're developing value by the way you. I don't know. It's
too much.
Yeah, it'd have to be crazy creative. Is the current reward system at the end of the season incentive enough to try to hit legend or anything above rank 20? I'd say no, but that's just my personal. Well, I don't even think about it.
The chest is fun, but the thing is, if you're getting to the point where you gain the chest as a reward, do you need the cards? And if you need them, you don't need them to compete, maybe, unless you want to switch archetypes. So I feel like probably not. I don't know.
I mean, hitting legend, I don't think it matters, but maybe if you're like trying to get one of the lower chests, you know, like you're ranked 20, you know, trying to get just those lower chests, that's a bigger deal, I think, than me getting an extra golden card. I mean, Rhea has all the golden cards, so he doesn't give a shit, right?
I don't like to think about that.
What? Like, I don't like to think about how much my decks are worth.
Admit on the game.
Yeah, it's all
right. I spent like thousands of dollars on Candy Crush Saga, and then I spent all day, every day complaining about it.
Wait. You've spent thousands? Oh, no, you're talking about this game. Okay, I was going to say, I thought you meant for real. Yeah, I was like, what the fuck?
I think I've spent at least 3,000. It has to be at least 3,000.
On the game? Oh, God. Yeah. That's definitely.
I must be up there. Like, I don't even know anymore, but yeah, it's
really I'm not 3,000, that's for sure. But yeah, definitely up there too. What are the thoughts on changing? You know, that's not a good. I was gonna say, what are the thoughts on changing Innkeeper AI decks to be better matched them meta? What the meta is like? Oh my god!
Well met.
Exactly. Like, right.
That's all you see.
Oh, what do you guys? Yeah, what do you guys think about the whole, like, emotes, like them adding some more of those?
I wish they had more.
Yeah, I wish they did too, man. I didn't realize how much I liked that Winterveil, whole Winterveil emote until they took it away, man. It sucked. Okay, well, I think that's going to be it for questions. Thanks for writing those in, everybody that got a chance to. But why don't we go into some shout-outs and wrap the show for this week? Noxious, want to do any shout-outs?
Yeah, shout out to Complexity, I guess, as usual, and people
guess.
That I work with. I guess. Wow. I mean, I never shout out. It's the first time I ever shout out to anything ever. So, yeah, shout out to the Complexity team, has been supporting me for a while. And I guess the sponsors that I've got just picked up Soylent, so I guess that's cool. Pretty nice.
All right. Awesome. Ray?
Is that a team sponsor or individual?
Not even. It's just individual.
Oh, I know you have a code for that, right?
Kibler.
Come on. You have a code for
Kibler
that.
Yeah, Kibler and Hafu. Did you go through their agents?
You have a code for Soylent. Right,
yeah.
you can plug that. What is it?
Nox.
Nox. There we go. Nox, guys. Code.
Yeah, it's
Nox.
Super simple.
All right, Ray. Shout outs.
Yeah. Shout out to Noxious. Cool to have you on the show from now on, and Chris, and yeah. Shout out to the Hearthstone Silver
mods. I knew you were gonna say that.
Great job.
Yeah, that's it. Really exciting new announcement coming for Hearthstone in general. Stay tuned for that. That's going to be like...
So Blizzard or Tempo Storm?
A week from now.
Blizzard or Tempo Storm?
Not...
Neither?
I mean, it's sort of Tempo Storm, but not really. It's like... It's cool, man. It's cool. It's us
Tempo
doing
Stone!
Okay, I'm just trying to figure out where it's coming from, because you're so vague about
it. Faces of Hypegar and Reynad, like Tempo Stone.
It'll be cool, man.
Microtransactions.
Top tempo.
I was doing a Blizzard new game, guys. Step one.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So next week, you said, or soon, or
yeah, like a week from now.
Soon, trade TM. Okay. Cool. But big thanks to you guys, Raynad and Noxious. Thanks for doing the show with me, and hopefully we'll have some great upcoming episodes for Valuetown. Shout out to Tempo Storm, obviously, for sponsoring the show with their sponsor Stooges2A and Twitch. Again, there's a Patreon for Valuetown, patreon.com/Valuetown. It's your way of supporting the show if you guys enjoy it and want to continue seeing it each and every week. And lastly, the VODs will be available on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/ChamionV, about 30 minutes to 45 minutes after the show ends. And I think that's it, guys. I guess we'll see you guys next week. It'll be the same time. It's Wednesday, 1 p.m. That's going to be the same time we do it for 2016. So be ready for that. Let everybody know. And we'll see you next week. Peace.
Have a nice one.